cancel culture has turned on the holiday.
The Huffington Post seriously suggesting Americans skip spending time with family instead of going travel to save our planet.
Here to react, comedian Michael Loftus. Michael, great to see you as always. Let's put on a screen the title of this article. It is called The Environmental Impact of Your Thanksgiving Dinner. And here's what they want to get rid of. Cue full screen. They want to take turkey out of the turkey dinner because of your carbon footprint. Cut down on travel for both yourself and your food. I'm often interested in my food's travel. And pare down the endless sides and apps.
Leave that up there for a brief moment. Thank you, Brett. They spelled pare down wrong on their faux reporting about how we want to cancel Thanksgiving. It's not P-A-I-R. That would be a pair of shoes. A pair of pairs would be P-A-I-R-P-E-A-R-S, but to pare down is P-A-R-E. They can't even spell over there at the fake news. They don't even try. It's just so unbelievable to me. Oh, my God. And then Idiot Boy was on the stage last night here in Florida. This is my old neighborhood, Sunrise, Florida. I used to live there. There's a big BB&T center over there, and he went on the stage and ranted for, I don't know, an hour and a half. It was bizarre. It was weird. He talked about his beautiful chest. He talked about we want to change Thanksgiving. It was very vague, though. It was secondhand, not direct information from any liberal. It was very vague. He didn't specify. What did we want to change the name to? He said we wanted to change Thanksgiving to some other name, but he won't identify the name or the wrongdoers. What is he talking about? Some people say. He always does this. He makes these vague, vague promises like some people, they want to do something that nobody wants to do, and still he manages not to keep his promises. I can't figure out what this man's audience is, really. Why do people stand there and celebrate stuff or applaud stuff or not in agreement with stuff that the dear leader says is happening when clearly it's not happening? Not happening. I don't even understand. So how do we survive this? And by this, I don't mean the administration. I mean Thanksgiving. How? How do we do it? Well, you remember the good old days when we used to fight about other stuff? Anybody remember before every Thanksgiving was a political food fight? Does everybody remember all the really normal stuff we used to fight about? I suggest I read all these columns, okay? I put them in the homework so you could see what I read this morning. This is supposed to be helpful advice on how to avoid the political food fight at Thanksgiving dinner with your Trump pansy friends or your Trumper grandpa or your World War II dad who still thinks that, you know, fascism is not here. I don't know. And they said be kind to the Trump pansy. Pet the Trumpansy, I guess is what they're saying. You know, remember that the pilgrims had a friendly dinner with the Indians and that the pilgrims eventually took all their land anyway. Concentrate on the small picture, not the big picture. You know, that was one of them. Be very, very kind. You know, try. One of the columns, the Washington Post column, suggested that we discuss Martin Scorsese's attack on Marvel superhero movies. Now, I know my share of comic book freaks, and frankly, some of them are scarier than Trumpers. So I would be careful with that. Instead, if you wanted to go down the Martin Scorsese road, watch The Irishman. It's streaming on Netflix as of this moment. I am super excited to cook to that tonight. And then I'll have to watch it again because, you know, I got stuff to do, like stuffing. I got things I need to pre-make ahead, but I'm going to have The Irishman on in the background. So that was one of my things. But why can't we fight over the things we used to fight about? That's what, I mean, you know, when I was growing up, the fights at the Thanksgiving table had to do with my parenting. Do you know what I mean? It was like a full frontal attack on whether or not I was too permissive, or whether or not we give trophies for even trying, even if you lose, you know, second place. Well, here's a participation trophy. Remember those good fights? You remember those? You remember those? Why not fight about that? Why not fight about the thing that I always like to fight about? Nobody helped me. I'm doing this all by myself. You were not in the kitchen. You wouldn't even take out the garbage. I emptied the dishwasher 4 times already. 4 times, where were you? You know, can't we fight about the things we used to fight about, like your husband's degenerate, habit with fantasy football that's out of control? Where my parents used to fight about my father watching football all day Sunday. Now you got Thursday night football, you got Saturday night football, you got Sunday night, and now the guy, they got to watch every game because they got a player from every team on their fantasy football team, so... I mean, why not argue about the modern version of that fight, just for those of you who are, shut up, boomer. Yeah, for those of you who think that about me. I got to tell you, the modern version of that is red zone for people with ADD. Discuss. That channel freaks me out, man. That is like, and Howard has ADD, and he loves red zone. So have that fight, for God's sake. I mean, we used to fight about, normal things like... those boys that he's hanging out with. Your son is hanging out with a bunch of degenerates. They're all smoking the funny marijuana. Can't we fight about, your kid's drug use? Can't we do that? What is wrong? Why? Hey, fight about your in-laws' taste. That's always a real, real showstopper. They have mirrors all over that place. Who needs a mirror in the bathroom? Like that. You know what I mean? Here's my favorite argument that ever was conceived in the history of arguments. Ready? Money! Why do you have to bring him up? Here's my rule. This is what I'm saying. If you're hosting, you're the boss. I always host. I'm the boss. Thanksgiving is my holiday. Everybody comes to me. Everybody who's listened to me over all these many years since the WIOD days in the 90s, you all know Thanksgiving is at my house and that every recipe that I make is a heart attack on a plate. You all know that every recipe that I have for Thanksgiving begins the same way. Melt a stick of butter and it's good. So I own Thanksgiving and I make the rules. If you're hosting, you make the rules. And the rule ought to be, he is Voldemort. No one says his name. Now, I have a family of friendlies. There's no question about it. Everybody around me reads the newspaper. Everybody around me reads books. Everybody, seriously, they read. They sit on their sofas and they read books. And they actually... my sister-in-law, book club, both of them, both my sister-in-laws, book club members. They pick books, they read books, they dissect books, they discuss books, they read newspapers every single day. Larry, Howard's brother, reads a newspaper before he even lets the coffee, touch his lip. He's already read 3 newspapers, all right? So I don't have this problem. However, because of what I do for a living, everybody wants to know what I think is gonna happen. Guess what my rule is? Talk about my food. It all starts with a stick of butter, and it's all delicious. And if you survive it, if you don't have a heart attack, woohoo, you made it through another year with me. I don't need to talk about politics at my Thanksgiving. Let's talk about your son. Let's talk about money. Let's talk about fantasy football and how bizarre that whole thing got. I'm serious. That's my rule. Be very, very... Either that, or hide the freaking knives, people. Hide them. And if you're serving alcohol, hide the guns.
All things Randy at randyrhodes.com.
Go for launch.
Speaking truth to power, the Randy Rhodes Show.
as we gather together for Thanksgiving. You know, some people want to change the name Thanksgiving.
Nobody wants
to. They don't
want to
use the term Thanksgiving.
Nobody wants that.
And that was true also.
That's not true.
With Christmas, but now
not
everybody's using Christmas again. But now we're going to have to do a little work on Thanksgiving. People have different ideas why it shouldn't be called Thanksgiving. But everybody in this room I know loves the name Thanksgiving, and we're not changing it.
I don't think there's a huge push to change the name of Thanksgiving, is there?
Well, you know, I think it was in 2015, there was a rumor that Barack Obama wanted to change the name of Thanksgiving, but that was debunked. So perhaps what he's talking about is just all these stories about, you know, your carbon footprint and the amount of energy you use to travel over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house, you know.
Right. Well, you could Skype her and not even show up at all. You know, just FaceTime her.
Right, just keep it.
Grandma wants to see you.
Oh, really?
She wants to go like that.
Not if it's going to hurt the environment.
Growing up, you're such a big boy.
Mostly Italians do that. Italians grab the cheek and twist.
I think that is universal grandma.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah, grandma language.
Was a debunk, a douchey debunk is what that was, of their beloved leader. That's amazing, because nobody wants to get rid of Thanksgiving. Nobody wants to rename Thanksgiving, except for maybe some Trumpers who want to call it Thank Trump Day or something like that, or Trump. I mean, I have no idea why he makes this crap up, and it's always some people want to, and it's not true. None of it is true, and then he says, true. You know, like that. It is so bizarre what he does. It's just so crazy. I mean, look, I will say, if you're listening on Free Speech TV, this isn't something you heard. But if you're listening on some of the other platforms that we appear on, you heard Jim Hightower's report on factory turkey farming, and it's very brutal. It's very ugly. It's it almost makes you want to be a vegetarian, you know, or a vegetarian. I don't know, whatever floats your boat. But I will say it had an effect on me. Okay, I was gonna reach for the giant 23-pound butterball, the factory farmed, thing, and I didn't. I went and bought a family farm organic turkey this year. We'll see if it's fabulous. I brined. Should be delish. It's brining right now. He's in a big, giant bucket with no head. And it is brutal. You know what they do? They take the turkey's neck and they shove it in his body. I mean, it's like, Tower of London stuff. But hey, I'm a meat eater. And I know, I will say this. No plastic cups ever, Christina. I got emails yesterday because I was reading my to-do list and I was jotting down as I was doing the show. I was thinking, oh, rosemary. I forgot that. You know, and I read you my little, fill-in shopping list. And on my list, I even said, for some reason, there's plastic cups. So Jessica put it on there. So it was a learning moment. It was a teaching moment. See, these are the normal fights you could have. I am not buying plastic cups. They don't biodegrade. Well, you like paper bags, and all you ever do is put your groceries in them and throw them away. Yes, but they're recyclable. Yes, but not really. Do you know what I mean? And you print out paper. You know, you deforest all of North Carolina every day. How are you going to fight about the normal things, for God's sake? There is a really dire UN report out about climate change. Oh, my God. I don't even want to get into it before the holidays. But I will say, if you're traveling tonight, do it today, not tonight. Wait, and if you're going to do tonight, you're going to probably end up waiting till tomorrow because storm in the east, storm in the west. Now, we're down here. You know what the temperature is today to get you in the real Thanksgiving mood to eat a whole lot of carbs? It's 87 degrees. This is wrong. It's November. So I know a lot of you go, yeah, it's freezing. Where's the global warming? Right here on my freaking head. It is so hot, I can't even stand it. But be very careful traveling. I just wanted to get that out of the way. But this rally last night that he had here, I mean, what does he think? And what are the people? See, now I'm past the point of worrying about him and what he says and what he's going to say and the lies he tells, because it's just too many and he's going to do it. And his entire legacy is going to be that he was liar in chief. That's what everybody is going to remember this man for. That and for doing nothing, for doing absolutely nothing but protecting himself, enriching himself, his children enriching their selves, emoluments, violating the Constitution, 8 ways to Sunday. That's all he's ever, But I mean, the people at the rallies, they're the ones that freak me out. And some of them are friends of my kids. These are the kids that grew up in my house. And I just don't understand how they went to the rally last night. And I thought they were going as a goof. No, they loved it. They loved it, you know. And they're like, well, somebody's got to protect him. I'm like, from what? From some people. From some people? Are you freaking kidding me? Well, that's what he says. Some people are after him. Some people. Well, who are these people? Some. It was very bizarre last night. I mean, he was railing about his magnificent chest. No, I'm not kidding. He actually was talking about his physique, his giant, misshapen, fatty 70-something-year-old physique. Now, it's fine to be over 70, and it's fine to be overweight and all of that. I mean, I'm no judgy here, but to then say what is obviously not true, that if you took off your shirt, they would want to see your magnificent buff chest. He also said in this rally last night that he had seen our governor, Rick DeSantis's chest. He actually said this. He said he thought that Rick DeSantis was fat. No, I'm not kidding. This is crazy. I mean, like I said, the old fights, you know, like when your mom's overweight and she's criticizing your weight. That's always, you know, the death of irony for me. And a great fight to have. It's just, it's expected. It's in bounds. You're kind of ready for it. You know what I mean? But Trump actually said that Rick DeSantis was fat. But that he got a chance to see Rick DeSantis shirtless, and that was not really fat. It was all muscle. And poor Rick DeSantis. I can't believe that Trump could make me feel sorry for Rick DeSantis, who dressed his baby in a Trump onesie in order to become the governor of Florida. And we had to have a recount, which God only knows what happened, right? But by like a 0.6%, Rick DeSantis became our governor right after dressing his baby in a onesie, which I thought was, you know, the cruelest the child abuse I'd ever seen. However, he said he saw Rick DeSantis shirtless and it's all muscle. And Rick DeSantis had to tweet out this morning, the president has never seen me shirtless. That did not happen. I don't know why he says these things. I honestly do not know why, but last night he was talking about the time that he went to Walter Reed to begin his physical 2 months before his physical, which, by the way, let me just explain very briefly why doctors don't start your physical 2 months ahead of your physical. It's because whatever tests they did 2 months ago are now outdated, and they would just have to repeat. But he did this whole thing about that the media said he had had a massive heart attack. Nobody said he had had a massive heart attack. Nobody. He said the doctor wasn't in the car. There's videotape of him and the doctor getting in the car. And then he said he wasn't wearing a tie because he knew when he got to Walter Reed, they would want him to rip off his shirt so they could see his magnificent chest.
Call in, connect. To speak to Randy, call 561-270-3844. 561-270-3844.
So they brought it down from a massive, unbelievable heart attack.
No.
You know, it's very dangerous for them to do because the world, believe it or not, the rest of the world and the leaders like and respect your president.
No.
We don't want to hear this. And I like them. It's very sad. So then instead they brought it down a notch. They said, he went into the hospital. And it's true, I didn't wear a tie. Why would I wear a tie? If the first thing they do is say, take off your shirt, sir, and show us that gorgeous chest. we want to see it. We've never seen a chest quite like it.
What world does he operate in? What world? What mirror? He must have funhouse mirrors in Mar-a-Lago. I mean, honestly, he must have those mirrors that, you know, elongate and make you tall and thin and, I don't know, young or something like that. I don't know what he sees. You know, he calls Adam Schiff a pencil neck. Can I just say his neck has a built-in vagina? I don't know what that is. What is that? And why is he criticizing every... This is like when your mother is overweight and criticizing your way. It's the height of hypocrisy. Irony is like dead. It's literally dead. You want to hear ironic? Okay, this is amazing. So here in Florida, the Fox News, I don't know what to call them, mic holders, they're certainly not journalists. I mean, Sean Hannity actually said on the TV yesterday to, what's his face? He was talking to, and he said, I know more about your trip to Ukraine than you might want me to reveal. Who? Oh, Devin Nunes, right. So he's sitting there with Devin Nunes. Now, a journalist would know the things that Sean Hannity knows about Devin Nunes' secret trip to Vienna to meet with Lev Parnas and Rudy Giuliani, right? But Sean Hannity doesn't divulge. He knows information, but he won't give information. So they're not exactly journalists, all right? So the mic holder for Fox News went down to a restaurant in my old neighborhood in Sunrise, Florida, to ask why this man used to be a Democrat and now supports Donald Trump. I think his answer will prove to you once and for all that irony is dead.
Sir, what's your name and what do you do?
My name is Ronnie Joseph, and I run a security company.
You run a security company. We were talking. You hire a bunch of vets. We appreciate that for sure. You used to be a Democrat. Now you're a Republican. You support the president. Why that change, and why do you support President Trump?
Well, for me, it's really quite simple. It's about family values. It's about being a patriotic American. And it just comes down to being honest and truthful with who you are. That's what I value. Family values, honesty, integrity, character, and that's everything that President Trump represents.
You feel like he's delivered on the promises that he's made?
Absolutely. Absolutely, he has.
Yes, I love all that infrastructure that's going up. I love the healthcare plan. It's so good. It's much cheaper, and it's, it covers pre-existing conditions, and it's just, it's the best. And I love the increase in, the federal increase in the minimum wage. We're all making $15 an hour. I mean, it's so, but this man actually cited family values. This is a baby daddy of 5 children by 3 different women, okay? And, honesty and truth-telling. This is what is important to him. I mean, what world are these people in? What world? I mean, he stood on a stage last night and lied for an hour and a half.
The president of Ukraine declared that there was no pressure put on me. Now, he's the only one that matters. There was no pressure. He said it all different ways. There was no pressure.
He said it once.
They don't even know what they're talking about.
In a hostage
it's
video.
It's a scam. It's a hoax. The Ukrainian foreign minister stated, and I quote, Ambassador Sondland did not tell us and certainly did not tell me about a connection between the assistance and the investigations. Never told him. I have never had a direct link between investigations and security assistance.
Holy crap. Oh, my God.
You've testified that the White House meeting that President Zelensky desperately wanted, and that was very important to President Zelensky, was it not?
Absolutely.
You've testified that that meeting was conditioned, was a quid pro quo for what the president wanted, these 2 investigations. Is that right?
Correct.
And that everybody knew it?
Correct.
Now, that White House meeting was going to be an official meeting between the 2 presidents, correct?
Presumably.
It would be an Oval Office meeting, hopefully?
A working meeting, yes.
Working meeting. So an official act,
yeah.
Correct? And in order to perform that official act, Donald Trump wanted these 2 investigations that would help his reelection campaign, correct?
I can't characterize why he wanted them. All I can tell you is this is what we heard from Mr. Giuliani.
But he had to get those 2 investigations if that official act was going to take place, correct?
He had to announce the investigations.
Oh,
he didn't actually have to do them, as I understood it.
Okay.
Oh,
President Zelensky
God.
Had to announce the 2 investigations the president wanted, make a public announcement, correct?
Correct.
And those were of great value to the president. He was quite insistent upon them, and his attorney was insistent upon them?
I don't want to characterize whether they are value, not value. again, through Mr. Giuliani, we were led to believe that that's what he wanted.
Well, and you said that Mr. Giuliani was acting at the president's demand, correct?
Right.
Yes. Okay. Here is Donald Trump on Bill O'Reilly's show yesterday.
What was Rudy Giuliani doing in Ukraine on your behalf?
Well, you have to ask that to Rudy. But Rudy, I don't even know. I know he was going to go to Ukraine, and I think he canceled the trip. But you know, Rudy has other clients other than me.
What?
So you didn't direct him to go there on your behalf.
No. You have to understand, Rudy is a great corruption fighter. He's one of the greatest in the last 50 years. He was the greatest mayor in the history of the city of New York by far. Much better than Bloomberg. I mean, Bloomberg, when he took it over, the crime was in great shape. I mean, Rudy did a great job as mayor. And, you know, when you think, I mean, he has to look. I mean, he felt personally insulted by what happened during my campaign, because there were a lot of bad things happening. And you know that better than anybody else. A lot of really bad things were happening during my campaign. In a way, it's a miracle that I won, because with all of those horrible things, with the media against, with the dishonesty, the tremendous dishonesty, and then you hear about Google and Facebook and Twitter, everybody against.
What?
And we won, and really, I guess you could say it was a landslide in the Electoral College.
So,
and,
Rudy Giuliani,
big victory.
He's your personal lawyer. Giuliani's your personal lawyer. So you didn't direct him to go to Ukraine to do anything or put any heat on him?
No, I didn't direct him, but he is a warrior.
Here's the perfect call. Good, because I heard you had a prosecutor who was very good and he was shut down. That's really unfair. A lot of people are talking about that, the way they shut your very good prosecutor down. You had some very bad people. Mr. Giuliani is a highly respected man. He was the mayor of New York City, a great mayor, and I would like him to call you. I will ask him to call you, along with the Attorney General.
This is the Randy Rhoads Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
There was no quid pro quo. There was nothing.
Did he also mention to me in the past that the corruption related to the DNC server? Absolutely. No question about that.
There was no quid pro quo at all.
But to be clear, what you just described is a quid pro quo.
We do that all the time with foreign policy.
There was no quid pro quo, unlike Biden.
That's it. And that's why we held up the money.
Okay, let's go back to the perfect phone call where the president said there was no quid pro quo and that he also never directed Rudy Giuliani to do anything. Rudy's just a warrior. That's all it is. Now, if Donald Trump, you know, Rudy Giuliani said that he was over in Ukraine defending the president, as any good defense lawyer does. But if Rudy is saying that he's acting on his own, if now the whole defense is going to be Rudy went rogue, and the president didn't direct, well, there's about a mountain and a half of evidence and make Mount, St. Helens look silly. That's how big the mountain of evidence is that clearly shows there are emails, there are memos, there are text messages, there are phone calls. You know, the perfect phone call exists, and he released it where he actually shows the quid pro quo. And also, as a side effect, he shows that he's directing Rudy Giuliani because he says it in his own words. I will ask him to call you. Mr. Giuliani is a highly respected man. He was the mayor of New York City, a great mayor, and I would like him to call you. I will ask him to call you along with Attorney General. Rudy very much knows what's happening, and he is a very capable guy. If you could speak to him, that would be great. The former ambassador from the United States, the woman, was bad news. And the people she was dealing with in the Ukraine were bad news. So I just want to let you know that. The other thing, there's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution. And a lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the Attorney General would be great. the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, says to Donald Trump, don't worry, any prosecutor that comes in is going to be 100% mine. But he also asked the president, he said, I would kindly ask you, this is Zelensky, I would kindly ask you if you have any information that you can provide to us. It would be very helpful for the investigation to make sure that we administer justice in our country with regard to the ambassador to the United States from Ukraine. As far as I recall, her name was Ivanovich. We now know it's Yovanovich. And then he says, it's great that you were the first one who told me that she was a bad ambassador. And Trump says, well, she's going to go through some things. I will have Mr. Giuliani give you a call. And I'm also going to have Attorney General Barr call you, and we will get to the bottom of it. Okay, now he's lying.
What was Rudy Giuliani doing in Ukraine on your behalf?
Well, you have to ask that to Rudy. But oops. Rudy, I don't even know. I know he was going to go to Ukraine, and I think he canceled the trip. But you know, Rudy has other clients other than me. I'm one.
So you didn't direct him to go there on your behalf? You didn't?
No, but
these emails show that the leadership of the State Department, the National Security Council, and the White House were all informed about the Ukraine efforts from May 23rd, 2019 until the security aid was released on September 11th, 2019. I will quote from some of those messages with you shortly. Fourth, as I testified previously, Mr. Giuliani's requests were a quid pro quo for arranging a White House visit for President Zelensky. Mr. Giuliani demanded that Ukraine make a public statement announcing the investigations of the 2016 election DNC server and Burisma. Mr. Giuliani was expressing the desires of the President of the United States, and we knew these investigations were important to the President.
Oops. Here's the perfect call. This is our president. He says, well, thank you very much, and I appreciate that. I will tell Rudy and Attorney General Barr to call. Thank you. Whenever you would like to come to the White House, feel free to call. Give us a date, and we'll work that out. I look forward to seeing you. He said, I'm looking forward to our meeting, Zelensky said. I would also like to invite you to visit Ukraine and come to the city of Kiev, which is a beautiful city. We can either take my plane and go to Ukraine, or we could take your plane, which is probably much better. And he says, okay, we could work that out. I look forward to seeing you, maybe in Poland. Thank you very much, Mr. President. Yeah, I'm going to have Rudy call you. He didn't direct Rudy to do anything. He didn't direct Rudy to do anything. Anything. Okay, all right.
So let me make a few key points. First, Secretary Perry, Ambassador Volker, and I worked with Mr. Rudy Giuliani on Ukraine matters at the express direction of the President of the United States.
Oh!
We did not want to work with Mr. Giuliani.
Oh my God.
Simply put, we were playing the hand we were dealt. We all understood that if we refused to work with Mr. Giuliani, we would lose a very important opportunity to cement relations between the United States and Ukraine. So we followed the president's orders.
Oh, my. We followed the president's orders.
In hindsight, if you had to do the phone call with the Ukraine president again, would you mention Joe Biden?
Well, I was mentioned just as very unimportantly. And oh, as you know, Joe Biden's son became rich as soon as Joe Biden became vice president. And in my way of thinking, that's totally corrupt. And the press, this is what I talk about, the media, they don't want to cover it. Every Republican is shaking their head. They can't believe it. I have the highest rating ever in the history of the Republican Party, 95% approval. Ronald Reagan was at 87%. He was second. They see what I'm saying. Joe Biden, it's criminal what they've done. And frankly, that they get away with it is amazing. The son who didn't have a job, who got thrown out of the Navy, who was really down and out, all of a sudden is making millions and millions and millions of dollars working with Ukraine, had no knowledge of energy. He was working with an energy company, as you know, has no knowledge of energy. And they were paying him, I guess many people say $168,000 a month. It varies, but we know it's very high, millions of dollars. Then he goes to China, picks up $1.5 billion for a fund, which is tens of millions of dollars a year in fees and other things. And now other countries are coming to light. It's a payoff. It's absolutely a payoff.
Except none of that happened. It's like some people want to rename Thanksgiving. And he's got a magnificent chest is what it is. And he did not direct Rudy to do anything. Rudy has other clients. Rudy's just a warrior. That's all it is. Well, if Rudy wasn't acting on the at the behest of his client, Donald Trump, when Rudy was smearing, defaming, and removing Marie Yovanovitch, if Rudy Giuliani wasn't acting at the behest of his client, the President of the United States, guess what there isn't? Attorney-client privilege. Isn't that special? Isn't that something? Now, Donald Trump always claims he doesn't know people who are doing really bad things at his direction, okay? Michael Cohen, you have to ask Michael Cohen. Sondland, who is a mega donor, a million-dollar giver after the election, and bought an ambassadorship to the EU where Ukraine is not part of the portfolio. He doesn't know Sondland. He says he doesn't know him. He never really spoke to him. Sondland testified that he had spoken to the president at least 20 times. I mean, all these people that Donald Trump doesn't know. It's just, there are emails, there are documents, there's the perfect call. There's, Mike Pence going to Poland instead of Donald Trump. There's Bolton, who is tweeting out, "We're being attacked from within, and I know what's going on in our national security. Danger, danger, Will Robertson." But he won't testify. You know, I mean, he's such a lion sack, but his supporters are so blinded by the right that they sit there and say that the thing they admire most about Donald Trump is his honesty. His honesty and his family values. We are literally in an alternative universe.
Mary had a little man.
The fault.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey. It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
I'm not spinning a damn thing. Okay. I'm telling you the truth.
You don't know what you're talking about. You don't have any idea what you're talking
about.
What
you just said.
Did you ask the Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden?
No.
So the president did bring up Joe Biden on the call.
Maybe he didn't bring it up. The only thing I ask about Joe Biden is to get to the bottom of how it was that Lutsenko, who was appointed, dismissed the case against Antac.
So you did ask Ukraine to look into Joe Biden?
Of course I did.
You just said you didn't.
Okay, hold on.
Shut up,
moron.
Shut up.
Okay, hold on.
Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
Chris.
You don't know what you're talking about, idiot. The State Department asked me.
You just said it.
No, I didn't. You did, you liar. You did.
Excuse me, you're interrupting my reading of this book.
Nothing.
Wait!
The Inspector General.
No, let me finish. He says he didn't know his son was under investigation. That's absurd. Mm-hmm. That he never talked to his son about his son's foreign business? Do you believe that? Don't you think I can prove that he did? You think I'm stupid?
I want to move the conversation along because a lot of other stuff is out there.
He's a Democrat. Because he's a Democrat.
President of the Ukraine says I wasn't pressured. End of case.
I know.
Over.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask you, did you read the transcript?
Let's say it was read to me.
Did he ask you to do what you were doing?
No, I did what I did on my own. And then
really?
I told him about it afterward.
Now, the Washington Post this morning talks about how you were behind a lot of the stuff.
Thank God you cover it in a complicated way. But it's important that people understand this, because when they hear stuff, then they can, you know, say, oh, I heard that spin and it's wrong.
Well, Rudy, and the Washington Post will say, oh, Trump said something wrong in a conversation with someone. Oh, my God, that's a crime.
You just admitted it. It's a ridiculous allegation. Of course you did.
Oh, no, no. I told the president of the Ukraine that we're going to fight corruption.
One time Bill Clinton asked me, what's this guy Romney like? You know what I told him? He's our Al Gore.
All right, Rudy, hold that thought.
Don't you realize this is a complete sham?
Get it out.
I am institutionally insulting you, Chris. That's what you want to do. You're institutionally insulting me. Your coverage is horrendous. I actually think they should all congratulate me. Because if it weren't for me, nobody would have uncovered and faced massive corruption by the Vice President of the United States. In fact, I'm a legitimate whistleblower.
So let me make a few key points.
Please.
First, Secretary Perry, Ambassador Volker, and I worked with Mr. Rudy Giuliani on Ukraine matters at the express direction of the President of the United States. We did not want to work with Mr. Giuliani. Simply put, we were playing the hand we were dealt. We all understood that if we refused to work with Mr. Giuliani, we would lose a very important opportunity to cement relations between the United States and Ukraine. So we followed the president's orders.
Whoops. How about another witness? How about Fiona Hill, the Russia expert? How about her?
I was actually, to be honest, angry with him. And, I hate to say it, but often when women show anger, it's not fully appreciated. It's often, you know, pushed onto emotional issues, perhaps, or deflected onto other people. And what I was angry about was that he wasn't coordinating with us. Now, I actually realised, having listened to his deposition, that he was absolutely right, that he wasn't coordinating with us because we weren't doing the same thing that he was doing. So I was upset with him that he wasn't fully telling us about all of the meetings that he was having. And he said to me, but I'm briefing the president. I'm briefing Chief of Staff Mulvaney.
Oh.
I'm briefing Secretary Pompeo, and I've talked to Ambassador Bolton. Who else do I have to deal with? And the point is, we have a robust interagency process that deals with Ukraine. It includes Mr. Holmes. It includes Ambassador Taylor as the chargé in Ukraine. It includes a whole load of other people. But it struck me yesterday when you put up on the screen Ambassador Sondland's emails and who was on these emails, and he said these are the people who need to know that he was absolutely right, because he was being involved in a domestic political errand. Oh. And we were being involved in national security foreign policy, and those two things had just diverged. So he was correct, and I had not put my finger on that at the moment. But I was irritated with him and angry with him that he wasn't fully coordinating. And I did say to him, Ambassador Sondland, Gordon, I think this is all going to blow up. And here we are.
Whoops. So there are emails, there are documents. There are documents that connect to the president, to Mike Pompeo, to Mick Mulvaney. We're finding out now. Two OMB, one was a lawyer at OMB, resigned. Two OMB, career officials gave up their jobs because they could not understand how the president was not breaking the Impoundment Act law by holding up the aid. And of course, the Republicans will sit there and tell you, well, you know, they did release the aid, so no harm, no foul. But of course, they only released the aid after they got caught. Now, what we're finding out today is a new detail in the timeline. Here's what you need to understand. August 12th is when the whistleblower made the complaint, okay? The phone call on July 25th, let's go back there. July 25th, on that phone call, we have the president saying he's going to direct Rudy Giuliani and Bill Barr to call Zelensky to let Zelensky know that he must make an announcement. He said he wanted Zelensky in a box, a public box. And Zelensky had to announce, not actually do an investigation because it would produce nothing. against Hunter Biden. He didn't care if the investigation ever got done. He only wanted the announcement because it would benefit him politically if Joe Biden's son was under investigation. And he also was not giving the White House meeting, which is an official act as well. All right, so we know that. Now we know on July 25th, that is the same day of the perfect phone call. That is the same day Donald Trump calls OMB and tells them, hold up the Ukraine aid. I don't want it going over there. Now, he was on the phone with Zelensky. He never, ever mentions corruption. He never mentions doing anything. He doesn't mention that isn't it great news that the Department of Defense has certified you, having met all of the benchmarks for anti-corruption efforts that we laid out for you. Isn't that good news? No, he doesn't bring up any of this. And of course, he has no problem with Putin's corrupt Russia. He has no problem with the Saudis and their human rights abuses and their corrupt, oligarchy, their corrupt regime, their corrupt kingdom. Okay, he has no problem with them. He has no problem with Viktor Orban in Hungary, who's corrupt also. He has no problem with any other corrupt country. North Korea is just fine. He loves Kim Jong-un. So you get the picture here. So July 25th is the day that he orders that the aid be held up after he says to Zelensky, I'm going to have Rudy call you, and Rudy's going to explain everything you need to do. We now know that on August, that same day, that is the day that Vindman, who was listening on the perfect call, goes to the inspector general, goes to the lawyer at the National Security Council, Mr. Eisenberg, and makes a formal complaint that the president is engaging in political activity with a foreign leader for his own benefit, and that this all stinks, okay, and something's really wrong. By August 12th, which is 2 weeks later, the inspector general says that that he's received a whistleblower complaint. Six individuals, unknown to us before this testimony, had come to him as well. Fiona Hill now says she was one of them. Vindman, we know, was one of them. Went to the lawyer, Mr. Eisenberg, made a complaint, and went to a whistleblower and asked the whistleblower to file a whistleblower complaint on their behalf together. August 12th, the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community declares that whistleblower complaint urgent and credible, and now we know why, because we got the testimony. And the White House is briefed that there is an urgent and credible whistleblower complaint. Okay, why doesn't it then go to Congress as is required by law? Because the White House counsel and our attorney general interfere with the duty of Joe Maguire to deliver it to Congress.
All things Randy at randyrhodes.com.
Go for launch.
Speaking truth to power, the Randy Rhodes Show.
A developing story from Washington this morning where a promise that President Trump made to a foreign leader is reportedly the subject of a whistleblower complaint. That's according to the Washington Post. It's unclear what the promise was, and the foreign leader has not been revealed, but the complaint has been deemed credible and urgent by the Inspector General for the Intelligence Community. Despite the concern, the Director of National Intelligence has refused to turn over the complaint to the House Intelligence Committee, which Democrats say violates the law. The director is set to testify before the committee next week.
And he did. Remember that? Do you remember that was like the first testimony that we got? It wasn't under the impeachment inquiry banner. It was just Joe Maguire checking in and answering questions about being the DNI. And what his testimony was that he had been DNI for all of 2 or 3 days when the whistleblower complaint landed on his desk. And he didn't know what to do. So what did he do? He testified that he went to the White House. And he told Pat Cipollone or the White House counsel, not Don McGahn because he's already gone, the new one, Cipollone, that there was this urgent and credible whistleblower complaint that was handed to him by the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community. And at that point, Attorney General William Barr and the White House counsel said, do not give that to Congress. Even though that is exactly what the law required of him. He feigned complete and utter ignorance. He did not know that that was what the law required. And so he went to the White House. And then after his testimony, where he clearly, clearly said that he had gone to the White House instead of to Congress, which is what the law directs him to do, and that he had gone to Cipollone and that he had gone to Bill Barr, who decided to kill it and not comply with the law and send it off to Congress, that Nancy Pelosi said, I think Bill Barr's gone rogue. And I feel really bad for Joe McGuire because he had a good reputation, but he just ruined it. He just freaking ruined it because poor man broke the law.
Let me ask you about the Attorney General.
He's gone rogue.
Mika and I have had an ongoing debate for years. I've always said the institutions are strong. They will hold. We will be fine. She's been far more concerned. But this Attorney General now has me questioning. Yeah. How do the institutions hold
if
the Attorney General's gone rogue? If there is somebody in the White House this morning watching, and they are watching, and they understand that they violated an executive order and misclassified information for political purposes and could be facing legal penalties, where do they go when the Attorney General himself was mentioned in the whistleblower complaint at the top and buried it? Where do they go?
Well, I think where they're going is a cover-up of the cover-up. And that's really very sad for them. And that to have a Justice Department go so rogue. Well, they have been for a while.
Right.
And now it just makes matters worse that the Attorney General was mentioned, that the President was mentioned, and yet the Justice Department directed the Director of National Intelligence to take this to the White House.
Which he said yesterday was unprecedented.
Unprecedented.
Yeah.
And he's a person of great reputation. I felt sorry for him because here he is having to I don't know what. I mean,
right.
I think that what he did broke the law. The law is very clear. When this information comes, it's deemed credible and of urgent concern by the Inspector General.
Right.
The Director of National Intelligence shall convey the information to Congress. Now, this is my wheelhouse, as I said to the President. 25 years of experience in intelligence. A long time ago, starting as a member, being the ranking member, being Gang of Four, even before I was in the leadership. I was there when we wrote the whistleblower laws. I was there when we wrote the law establishing the Office of Director of National Intelligence. That's only since 2004.
So I think she's very familiar with the whistleblower law for the intelligence community and what the job of the DNI is since in 2004, we created the DNI. You know, George Bush and all the Republican small government people. Yeah, they created all these new agencies. And one of them that they created was the DNI. And this man, Joe McGuire, broke the law. He broke the law because the law required that he give this whistleblower complaint to Congress. So what we now know is the whistleblower complaint was deemed credible and urgent on August 12th. Donald Trump was still holding the aid to Ukraine and not complying with, White House meeting that he was promising to Zelensky, but only in exchange for Zelensky going on CNN and sitting down with Fareed Zakaria and saying there's an investigation open on the Bidens, and then he could get his White House visit while this man is, in a country that is under attack by Russia, for real, okay? 13,000 dead people all around him. So the Republicans argue, well, the aid was released on September 11th, and the Democrats have said, we didn't get the whistleblower complaint until September 9th. And 2 days later, he released the aid. But now we know on August 12th, there was a whistleblower complaint. And that Joe McGuire's testimony was so important to all this that everybody forgot about Joe McGuire's testimony, except for me, where Joe McGuire went to Congress and told Congress he didn't know what to do. So he went to the White House, and the White House sat on the whistleblower complaint, broke the law from August 12th to September 9th. And finally, on September 9th, they realized that they had to turn this over to Congress. That's when Congress knew. And as soon as Donald Trump understood that Congress was now briefed on what he was doing, he started screaming at people on the phone, no quid pro quo, no quid pro quo, uneven asked. Sondland says he asked Donald Trump an open-ended question on September 9th, and he said, well, what do you want from Ukraine? And that's when he started screaming, no quid pro quo, no quid. He didn't ask him, do you want a quid pro quo? He said, what do you want from them? And that's when Donald Trump started telling people on the television, no quid, and I released the aid and all that. And it's because the attorney general and the White House counsel couldn't keep it from Congress any longer. And as soon as Congress was briefed almost a month later that there was a whistleblower complaint, which, by the way, remember, back on the day of the perfect call, this is when Vindman went to the lawyer. Fiona Hill also went to the lawyer. People around Marie Yovanovitch went to lawyers because they knew Giuliani was smearing her to get her out of the way, to make Ukraine safe for corruption by these two guys, Parnas and Fruman, who were indicted, who wanted to be on the board of Naftogaz. But that's why there's a big gap, because the White House tried to quash, whatever you want to, kill the whistleblower complaint. And it made its way over to the House Intelligence Committee. And as soon as the president understood, oh, God, Adam Schiff has it, release the aid and start screaming, no quid pro quo, because he got caught. But they thought they had a handle on it at the White House. They were just going to sit on it.
Call in. Connect. To speak to Randy, call 561-270-3844. 561-270-3844.
All right, this is a little detail that it's an important testimony that most of the mainstream media is leaving out when they do their timelines, which is, shocking to me, because between August 12th, when the Inspector General for the Intelligence Community deemed the whistleblower's complaint as told to him by six people who have now testified, that the president was involved in something for his political benefit in exchange for an official act, which is bribery. Joe McGuire was the first person to testify, and he was testifying just as, a matter of, normal business. But Adam Schiff thought to ask him about what happened to that whistleblower complaint that he received on August 12th and why Congress did not get it until September 9th.
And so the first place you went for advice as to whether you should provide the complaint as the statute requires to Congress was the White House.
I am not authorized as the Director of National Intelligence to provide executive privileged information. I think it is prudent as a member of the executive branch to check to ensure that, in fact, it does not.
I'm just asking about the sequencing here. Did you first go to the White House to determine whether you should provide a complaint to Congress?
No, sir. That was not the question. The question was whether or not it has executive privilege, not whether or not I should send it on to Congress.
Okay. Is the first party you went to outside of your office to seek advice, counsel, direction, the White House?
I have consulted with the White House counsel, and eventually we also consulted with the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel.
And my question is, did you go to the White House first?
I went to the Office of Legal Counsel for advice. Yes, sir.
I'm asking what you went to first. Did you go to the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel first, or did you go to the White House first?
I went to the office, my office went to the Office of Legal Counsel first to receive whether or not the matter in the letter and in the complaint might meet the executive privilege. They viewed it and said, we determine that it appears to be executive privilege. And until executive privilege is determined and cleared, I did not have the authority to be able to send that forward to the committee. I worked with the Office of Legal Counsel for the past several weeks to get resolution on this. It's a very deliberate process.
Well, Director, I'm still trying to understand the chronology. So you first went to the Office of Legal Counsel, and then you went to White House Counsel?
We went, and then to the, repeat that please, sir.
I'm just trying to understand the chronology. You first went to the Office of Legal Counsel, and then you went to the White House Counsel?
No, sir. No, we went to the White House first to determine, to ask the question.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know is chronology. So you went to the...
So he went to the White House. He went to the White House Counsel. He's lying about it, the sequencing of this, because he knows he broke the law. Joe McGuire, this poor schmuck who has been, the DNI, when this all happened, all of, two, 3 days, decides that he isn't going to comply with the law that he is sworn to uphold with regard to his position as the Director of National Intelligence. And what the law clearly says, as Nancy Pelosi wrote it, she would know, and so would the White House Counsel, and so would the Office of Legal Counsel, and so would the Attorney General know, that if the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community finds a whistleblower complaint urgent and credible, it must be delivered to Congress forthwith. Shall be delivered to Congress. And instead, this man went to the White House first. He went to Pat Cipollone and he said, oh my God, you can't, the president is invoking Attorney General Barr in this. The president is invoking Rudy Giuliani in this. The president is invoking, people that are doing, political things for him in exchange for an official act. My God, this is evidence of bribery. No, we're not releasing this to Congress. And this went on and on and on until Congress finally got the whistleblower complaint. That was on September 9th, and 2 days later, the aide was released. But on September 9th, the president starts screaming and yelling at people, unasked. I don't want to quit pro quo. I don't want to quit. This is such an obvious bribe. This is such an obvious, so many people broke the law. So many of them did. Everybody in the White House knew. This is what the testimony clearly shows. It also shows that there are emails and that there are text messages and that there is testimony under oath by all different people from all different points of view who all tell the same story about the president using his official office in order to enrich himself politically, shake down, extort, bribe an ally of ours who are in the middle of a real shooting war. It's disgusting. Now, if you think you can explain that over Thanksgiving dinner to a Trump, listen, you're better than I am, because there's no way. And that's why I'm saying fight over money. Fight over money. Okay? Asani in Michigan.
Hi, Randy.
Hey. How was Senegal?
How are you?
How was your trip?
Hey, it was nice, it was very nice,
I saw pictures, I saw your kids, they're gorgeous.
That's right. Hey, this is the first time that I'm watching you on this fish pitch thing. I mean, this is beautiful. This is nice. Everybody should try it.
Yeah.
And you can notice a lot of stuff. And guess what Ben, you're doing big things. And do you know how you know that? You on TV right now, Bill O'Reilly is on the radio. I mean, real talk. You're doing big things, And another thing also is I've been watching Nancy Pelosi, whatever, talking with Joe, whatever. And you can see her hands are bigger than Donald Trump's hands. I mean, I swear, I've seen it with my own eyes,
Yeah.
Her hands are big, Okay, and there is something I want to ask you very quick. I hear you all the time saying that, the chat room, they don't say nothing. Our chat room on Facebook, I mean, we talk about subject, we talk about the things you're talking about. Sometimes you should check that out sometime. We have a lot of
people. I've told them a million times, I know.
but there are smart people there. I mean, except the Fridays when they start talking about alcohol, everything goes,
I know.
And another thing I wanted to tell you is like this, after this Mueller report thing, I was in Africa when the thing came out.
Yeah.
And I was really watching it, thinking that something will happen. Nothing happened.
Right.
We the people, You know, I would think that American people will just hit the street. People will make noise. I mean, not violence, you know. But nothing happened. I mean, I was so upset, Randy. I was in Senegal. I was so upset. I just went outside, tried to look for somebody to fight with. Because yeah. Nobody wanted to fight.
Right, right.
They didn't want to fight me. You know, it's crazy. And another thing, like, I think, I mean, you have so many people listening to you. I think you should start preparing us about what's coming in case of...
If they don't... If the Republicans protect him in the Senate, you mean, and won't remove him?
Yes, in a way. If that happens,
so I'll tell you what's going to happen. Then we're going to have an election, and people are going to show up in droves, and they're going to be very enthusiastic about getting him out of office. I mean, no matter what happens, and the Republicans can kiss their party goodbye.
This is the Randy Rhoads Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
We went to the White House first. So you went to the subject of the complaint for advice first about whether you should provide the complaint to Congress.
There were issues within this. Couple of things. One, it did appear that it has executive privilege. If it does have executive privilege, it is the White House that determines that. I cannot determine that as the Director of National Intelligence.
But in this case, the White House, the President, is the subject of the complaint. He's the subject of the wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. Were you aware when you went to the White House for advice about whether evidence of wrongdoing by the White House should be provided to the Congress, were you aware that the White House counsel has taken the unprecedented position that the privilege applies to communications involving the president when he was president, involving the president when he wasn't president, involving people who never served in the administration, involving people who never served in the administration even when they're not even talking to the president? Were you aware that that is the unprecedented position of the White House you went to for advice about whether you should turn over a complaint involving the White House?
Mr. Chairman, as I said in my opening statement, I believe that everything here in this matter is totally unprecedented. And that is why my former directors of national intelligence forwarded them to you, whether or not it met urgent concern or whether it was serious. This was different. And to me, it just seemed prudent to be able to check and ensure as a member of the executive branch before I sent it forward.
Oh, man, the guy broke the law. It's a shame he's only been DNI for like 3 minutes. And his career is over because everything Trump touches dies. And we said this a long time ago. We told you that serving Donald Trump is serving the devil. The devil's going to get his due. And he takes it on the installment plan. And now Rudy's about to experience the death of him. Of his reputation, his ability to make a living. Everybody around Donald Trump, Pompeo is about to go down. The only thing Pompeo can hope to do is to run against Kris Kobach and primary Kris Kobach in Kansas and hope to God that for the first time since 1930, Kansas doesn't say, F this, we're going with a Democrat. These two are filthy. These two are dirty. We don't want that here in nice, clean Kansas. And everybody in Kansas is going to wake up and they're going to say, you and your little dog too. And there's no place like home. And this isn't Kansas anymore. And it could happen that since 1930, we'll get, you know, we haven't had a Democratic, senator from Kansas. Do you know that? And so that could happen. That could happen if Pompeo flees, he flees the interview and goes to Kansas and tries to run for the Senate. And of course, Donald Trump won't know him either. He won't know him. He won't know Mick Mulvaney. He says he doesn't know Lev Parnas. He says he doesn't know Igor Fruman. He says Rudy's not acting, he didn't direct Rudy to do anything. If you want to know what Michael Cohen was doing, you have to ask Michael Cohen because I don't know. I mean, this is the familiar pattern. This is the same repetitive this is just he's a pathological liar, and that's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is he's a neurological disaster. I mean, honestly, this is just so unbelievable because the testimony is everyone at the White House was in on this, every single body. And that includes the OLC, and that includes Bill Barr, and that includes Pat Cipollone, and that includes Mick Mulvaney, and that includes Mike Pompeo, and that includes Vice President Pence. All of them. All of them knew that the president was shaking down a guy for his own political benefit. He didn't even really want an investigation into the Bidens. He just wanted Zelensky to say he was investigating the Bidens because that would help Donald Trump in an election against Joe Biden. And by the way, Joe Biden is still getting the lion's share of the Democratic primary voters' votes. He's at 28%. I will tell you who's left in the Democratic primary that's still viable. Biden, followed by Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Pete Buttigieg. Those are the only four candidates that are in double digits. And so Biden's ahead of the pack by 28%. And the next three vote-getters are, you know, in the teens, which is fine. But Donald Trump knows who he needs to dirty up, and that's what he was doing. That's what he was doing. And anybody who tells the truth tells it to you.
So one of the Republicans' defenses that they have been using for weeks now is that the president decided to release all of those millions of dollars to Ukraine only after people determined that Ukraine was no longer corrupt. Nope, that wasn't the rationale. It was only after he was briefed about the whistleblower complaint and knowing about the congressional investigation. Here's how the New York Times puts it. President Trump had already been briefed on a whistleblower's complaint about his dealings with Ukraine when he unfroze military aid for the country in September, according to two people familiar with the matter. Lawyers from the White House counsel's office told Mr. Trump in late August about the complaint, explaining that they were trying to determine whether they were legally required to give it to Congress, the people said. Does that change the equation in the Senate?
It adds additional evidence. It empowers further the case against the president. It confirms the evidence coming from the president's own mouth.
Yeah.
Really, it's still the July 25th conversation.
Yep.
About doing us a favor in return for the aid, soliciting a bribe, in a sense. And what this report shows very, very importantly is the president decided to release the aid when he knew his cover was blown.
Mm-hmm.
He was caught.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted, in effect, to concoct an additional alibi or cover.
Do you think that changes some of your Republican colleagues' talking points about this?
My Republican colleagues are continuing, sadly, very unfortunately, to defend the president. And now they're defending him with these crazy conspiracy theories about Ukraine hacking into the Democratic campaign or in some way interfering with the election rather than Russia. That's a conspiracy theory that has not only been completely debunked, it's also dangerous to our national security because it gives Putin cover.
Right. Now, if you want it even quicker and more simply, here you go.
When you strip away everything, what we have learned over the past month is one thing, which is for the first time in American history, an American president has used taxpayer dollars to persuade, bribe, extort another president for information that will help him get reelected. That was the initial accusation, and that's what's been proven over and over again with all these witnesses.
That's it in a nutshell. For the first time in American history, an American president extorted, bribed another a president of another country, an ally, who was in the middle of a hot war, in order to get political dirt on his opponent. That is the entire story. Now, like I said, you know, you got to prove your case, and that is what we've done. That is what we've done because we got witness testimony. That is what we've done because, you know, idiot boy Joe McGuire did not know what to do or was going to cover for the president or thought because he got to be DNI, he should be loyal to the president and not to the democracy, the republic. I have no idea what was in his head, except that he went to the subject of the investigation to ask the subject of the investigation if they wanted to turn over the complaint against them to Congress. which is required by law. So many people broke the law here. So many people. And just to bring it full circle, here's what the president is now saying. This is the new thing, right?
The president just a short time ago.
Oh, sorry, this one.
What was Rudy Giuliani doing in Ukraine on your behalf?
Well, you have to ask that to Rudy. But Rudy, I don't even know. I know he was going to go to Ukraine, and I think he canceled the trip. But, you know, Rudy has other clients other than me. I'm one.
So you didn't direct him to go there on your behalf?
No, but.
Yeah, he did. And that is what everybody testified to, that they didn't even want to work with Rudy Giuliani, but that the president ordered them to, and that the president directed Rudy to do these things, and that the president and Pompeo and Mulvaney and everybody else, Vice President Pence, they all knew. Everybody knew. Everybody. This is a no-brainer, and this is why they moved ahead with impeachment on this particular law breaking. Now, remember, the Mueller report clearly demonstrated two things. Russia hacked. Donald Trump welcomed it. He was excited about it. They were coordinating, we know this through Roger Stone's trial, with WikiLeaks for a release of those stolen documents on their timetable, on the Trump campaign's timetable. And that when there was a counterintelligence investigation launched because it was obvious Russia was hacking, not only did Donald Trump try to cover it up, but he obstructed justice, asked people to lie, witness tampered 10 separate times. Happy Thanksgiving. Don't fight.